Max, we coach soccer over at Victory, and we never go into a game without a game plan. We always have an idea of what we're going to do. We scout out, we look, we plan, we watch our practices. Hey, what can our players do? How did they do? And we use it to our advantage. Does that always work out? No. Sometimes it goes, whoof. And just when you plan on somebody, what happens? COVID hits, sickness hits, or we have kids get hurt. And that changes the game plan. But just like for our lives, God makes no mistakes. When you talk about the collapsed building in Florida, they actually called Israel to send a team over that specializes in recovery and those things. Why? Because they're used to missiles hitting buildings and people still being trapped in it. When the Israeli team landed, there's actually news reports, so you can go and research it yourself. As soon as they touched down, they told them, look, you need to go to the motel, rest up. Tomorrow's going to be a big day. We're going to have a briefing. The Israeli team said no. They grabbed their gear and they headed straight to the site. At the site, they threw their tents down. And immediately one team started to work right then. They didn't wait for a briefing. They didn't wait for someone to say, hey, the building fell and here. No, they started immediately. And the news reporter come to him and said, why are you doing this? And the Israeli team said, look, time is of the essence. We've got to work and work fast. They knew exactly what they had to do. And as that shift stopped, instead of going to a motel, they slept in a tent. They're still there right now working. But yet what is our country doing to Israel? What are we doing in the Middle East? We're destroying it. But how has God's plan worked out where those people that are under constant attack, they come to help us? They didn't want no luxury. They come to do a job and go back home to their loved ones. And the same thing as we're going through this study today, God's game plan, it reminded me, me and a member from this church, we used to do soul winning. And we meshed good. And I remember the first time we went out, I would knock on the door and he would sort of chuckle because as soon as they opened the door, here's the plan of salvation, do you want it? And I'm beating it down their throat. And I told him, I was like, look, I'm getting frustrated here. We've knocked on so many doors, and the door gets shut. And he said, well, let me explain it to you. He said, it's God's will. We're not here to ram salvation down their throat. They have to understand. They have to accept God. It's free. It's not forced upon us. And at that point, he said, you're here to deliver the message. God will grow that seed. And it was funny, the more I was around him, we started more and more, we would get in Bible debates and all, and my eyes were opened up to so much more in my faith. He said, going soul winning is not just for you or for others. Sometimes it's for you to grow. Too many times as we're door knocking, we look, what is the weather from this house to this house? Do they have a dog? We want a game plan. We want a safety net. That's not how God works. And if you open up your Bibles, we're going to Exodus chapter 7. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. But it really brought so much together. Understanding God has a game plan and he's constantly using it. It's constantly in front of us. But we want it our way. And in Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 through 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." As we go in and we start breaking this down, what did it say? This is the next time that Moses is talking to Pharaoh. And if you remember some weeks back, I asked you how old Moses was, and everybody kept saying 80. This is the 80 part. When he first went to Pharaoh, he was younger. We don't know the age or anything like that. But if you go throughout history, who was the Pharaoh during that time? I'm going to give you a little real quick history lesson. It was Thutmose III. Thutmose III was raised by his stepmother. When he became Pharaoh, he was 3 years old. I don't know of too many pharaohs that can be 3 and run a country. So actually his mother had to step in, and she ran the country. She is the one who led all the campaigns. And if you go, still today, his body or his mummy, you can go and see it. He was small stature. They're not exactly sure of how tall he was. The mummy is 5'4", but there are no legs. Right about his ankles or feet, somewhere by his calves, they're removed. So when you stop and you think, here comes the problem. Who should be leading? Man. Okay? In this situation, he weren't. Now, I'm not trying to cast any shadow on females or anything like that. We have amazing women here. But when you stop and you think and you go through the history of this young man, what knowledge did he have of being a proper role model? Of how he should raise his kids? If you go on back in Thutmose's life, when he was younger, he actually was very hard on the people. He was known to be a very strict. He was a military man. Now, if you've been around anybody in the military, how user-friendly are they around people? A lot of the, look at Ms. Colvin, she gives that smirk. A lot of special op guys, they are very rigid. Am I wrong? When you look at pictures of John Wayne, I mean, he is very strong and robust. Do you think he's the, oh, it's okay, son? How would you picture him? So does it surprise you when his son, which is Amenhotep II, the way he become Pharaoh is his oldest brother died. So that left him to be the Pharaoh to replace his father. He was 18 years old. Now his father, after Tutmosis III had been Pharaoh for a while, he was on very strong military campaigns. He spread the Egyptian empire far and vast. So what did he know? He's coming into an empire that's solid. It's known to be a military power. So that's who is the Pharaoh that Moses is going to talk to. Now you put yourself in Moses' position. Moses has a speech impediment. And he's going to go talk to an 18-year-old. How many of y'all in here would want to go in the back and talk with some of our teenagers? They've grown up in church. They know how church is. And now tell them, hey, you're wrong. You can't do this. How is that going to work out? It ain't. Well, Amenhotep II actually married his mother. His own mother. Now, it's not uncommon when you go back in old traditions, if your spouse passed on, naturally is absorbed in the family, your job is to take care. But no, he actually ended up having 10 more sons. See an issue there? Do you see how the moral corruption started breaking down? Do you see why it was important now for Moses to go? Stop and look at our country now. How's it falling apart? I can go right now and I can find these mummies. I can actually see the hieroglyphics during that time. We know it's true. We know the stories. No one has been able to disprove the Bible. They have not been able to disprove it. But why can't we do as we're told? When you look at the game plan, what does God want us to do? Believe Him, free will. Has He asked you to do anything else? But when you stop and you think, is any of that so hard? He loves you. He cares for you. I don't care what bad has happened in your life. When you stop and you think that the great Creator loves you, He has provided for you time and time again. Yet, we turn away from Him and we want to go in our own will, in our own way. We want to walk after earthly desires, flesh and lust. Where is that going to get us? Nowhere. But why do we do it? But why? When we know it's wrong and we can see, you can see that tree coming, why don't we avoid it? Instead, we just speak, go a little faster. Why don't we know better? Or is it because? Okay. But now you have. But stop and think what he just said. There's a lot of wisdom in that. When you're out soul winning, what is your job to do? To plant the seed, right? And show how we live, correct? Just like she said. Can you control when someone changes? As hard as my wife wants me to change, and I wish you would put the dishes up better or do this better, am I going to change, or will I just change for a season? So who's going to change me? Who can change my heart? God. But I have to be receptive to it, correct? It's free choice. So I got a question. How many times, Brother Jesse, have you went and knocked on a door and seen that same door slam, 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 slam? A few times. But guess what? When God goes in that door and He goes with you and the seed's planted and all of a sudden conviction comes upon that person, you may not be there. It may be that night when they're watching a Billy Graham and it hits them, hey, I'm bound for a place called hell. My kids are going to suffer. Oh, what have I done? You know that man who kept coming to a door trying to tell me to change? He told me something. He told me a book to come and read. That's when it happens. But is that for your glory to see? And you won't always see it. I've never seen someone accept salvation standing up. But when you stop and you think, we have to keep going out. If you've got the pages, I don't know, Brother Charles handed them out. The first line is the command. A command. That's the first blank in there. When you stop and you think, what did God tell Moses to do? He commanded him to go to Pharaoh again. What did God say? I will make you a small g god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. When you stop and you think, the first time, did Moses say everything he was supposed to? And we'll get to that. But when you stop and you think, how many times has God spoke your part and you didn't change? When you stop and you think, when you were younger, think back. How many times has God come to you, you know that, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't have said that to that person. And then later on in the night, it hits you again. You're starting to think about it. Especially when it comes to witnessing people. That first time, hey, I need a second chance, God. And this is where it is. So the second one is spokesman. God's spokesman. God chooses who He's going to use. When you stop and you think about that building collapsing, the condom collapsing, or condominium collapsing in Florida, those Israeli people who come to help us, how did they learn on their trade? God gave them the knowledge. Also from the past, from their own country being attacked. That's how they learned. God has prepared you. God is using a spokesman who can knowledgeably talk and translate the message. When you feel you're inept or unable to, why? A lot of times that's Satan. But when you're having to go and you're having to witness to someone, like Mr. Tizek, if you had cancer, why would God let him go through that? So he can now tell somebody, hey, I've been through this. This is what brought me out of it. This is what helped. God is real. I can prove it. So when you're starting to go through it, is there anything we can do to change a person? No. So when you're soul winning or you're witnessing to somebody, you're not going to change them. Your job is to plant the seed. And God's going to grow the plant. When you stop and you think, even Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." This was Paul. You're like, really, Paul? We all have those times of being afraid. It's scary. Why is it scary? Because we look at our pain, our suffering. Next, the next blank is script. Script. Do you think God's going to send you without telling you what to say or giving you ability? In Exodus chapter 7, verse 2, it says, "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee." When you stop and you think, He's given us His word to carry out, to provide. We have it right with us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Why is it important to go to a God-fearing, Bible-believing church? Because of this, the foundation you stand on. That's why it's important. A lot of people go, "Oh, let's do the New International Version. Let's go to the translated. Let's go to this. Let's go to that." What happens when you transfer information from this to man's word? It changes the whole meaning. When you stop and you think, we have a member of the church that actually, he went through different types of the Bibles and he showed me, "Hey, this Bible that a lot of people were believing said David didn't kill Goliath." I was like, "You got to be kidding me." He said, "Now here it is." If you read some Bibles that say God created the heavens and the earth, plural. What do we believe? God created the heaven, the singular, and the earth, singular. Because if He created multiples, what are we? It's all in the message. And there's a cute little lesson in the book. I'm going to read it to you. It says, it was a bitterly cold morning, and a man had just arrived at work when he got a text from his wife that simply said, "Windows frozen. Won't open." You stop and you think back in old times, what happened? Was that not common for women or windows to freeze shut? So the husband, thinking from that text message, replied, "Pour some lukewarm water over it and gently tap it." And if you know anything, you don't want to pour hot water, what would hot water do? It would shatter it. So you want lukewarm. And you want to lightly bump it till it breaks free, right? Okay. Sounds like a good plan. 10 minutes later, he received another text from his wife. It read, "Computer really messed up now." When you stop and you think, but what did she ask? There was a translation lost. Had she said, "Hey, the computer..." Would that not have changed how he was center of response? But sometimes we don't understand. That's why it's important to get a firm foundation. So when you're talking to people, they know what you're meaning. Your next line is caution. Caution. Let's say you were the Israelite. How long had they been in bondage to Egypt? 400 years. We know Tutmos the third, he was not a very nice guy. He was a very hard ruler. He taxed the Egyptians hard. So what do you think he did to his slaves? When you stop and you think, that's why he was a military superpower. But he was also hung up on himself. That's why he wanted all these buildings built. He wanted his name engraved on everything. After his mother died, he actually would go himself around with a chisel to remove her name. Why? Didn't want her remembered. He wanted to be above. And this is stuff you can go and research yourself. When you stop and you think, God gave Moses a word of caution. What did he say? You will go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to be real nice to you. Was that what he said, or what did God say? Hey, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and he's not, his heart's hardened. He's not going to let you go. I'm telling you up front, anywhere in your life, has anyone said, look, your life is going to be a bed of roses. As soon as you got married, the kids will be perfect. All the food, everything will be laid out. Life is so hunky-dory. How many of y'all got promised that? None of us. So why are we surprised? Hey, it's not working out, Mom. I need to come back home. This isn't right, marriage counselor. I can't live with them. You're talking with attorneys, judges, and everybody else. To fix your life and to fix a marriage that you didn't enter in right, but you didn't read the word of caution in here, it tells you if you go and you do stuff, what's going to be the repercussions? So why do we go trust an attorney, a judge, or anyone else? You got to first have the right foundation to build on. Now you got to know the book. That's why it's important to keep knocking on that door to remind them, hey, there's going to come a day when you're on your knees. There's going to come a day when your kids, your loved one, your family member is on that deathbed and you know where they're heading. There's only one way to help them. That's why it's important to keep knocking on that door that keeps getting slammed in your face. You don't give up. You don't let them go on their own. Your next blank is hardness. Hardness. When you stop and you think, if you went back and back and you talked with that 18-year-old and says, hey, look, you got to give up some of your slaves. You've got to give up some of this land. Is it going to surprise you? What do most young people do? What is mine, and what's yours, I'm going to take. Because you have to understand, was this Pharaoh raised by a God-fearing man? No. Even the old Egyptians had forgot about Joseph and how Joseph saved them. It didn't get handed down. So that's why God's having to step in again. When you stop and you think, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 3, and it says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs. Does it say, hey, and the Egyptians shall fight with the Israelites and the Israelites shall win? No. It says, and multiply my signs and my wonders. What is God wanting to do here? God wants Moses to understand, hey, Moses, without me, you can't do anything. I'm going to lead you out. All you have to do is do as I'm telling you. How many times in our lives have we decided we want to go in, we want to do stuff? It's all going to be at God's time. I don't care what you want, what you think. Run as hard as you want. Scream as loud as you want. It's not going to work. At the end, what's going to be left? Just like what we said earlier, man chases flesh, lustily desires things of this world. How many of y'all have ever seen a funeral right here with the coffin and the family member laying there? How many of y'all have ever seen them laying with a handful of money? A smile on their face. All the worldly possessions with them. How many times have we ever seen an armored car carrying their money to the cemetery? You never have. You've never seen, I don't care who they are, you haven't seen them go to the cemetery to be buried with their flat screen TV. So why do we give all that time to it? When you stop and you think, it's free will. You're going to accept God on your own. There's going to be plenty of opportunities. But there's going to come a time when we're going to turn from God and we're going to say, no, I don't want you. And you're going to turn and go after your own fleshly desires, your own worldly desires. And where's it going to lead you? To heartache, to ruins, broken marriages, families, mistakes. But who chose those mistakes? You did. Own it. What do you have to do to get right? How hard is that? But it's like today, we will have invitation. Miss Kathy will play the piano, awesome as always. Brother Jim will sing. Pastor will beg. And it will be dry. Give it a few months from now when there's a coffin sitting right here. There'll be a family sitting right there. We'll be handing out Kleenexes. How bad do you wish? They wish their family member had been here. How bad should they have listened to the game plan that the coach laid out? Change now before that's too late. But there's going to come a time where God's going to leave us for our own desires. And what's going to happen? It's a roller coaster. It's a nightmare. And we can't figure out how to get off this nightmare. But it's very simple, isn't it? Your next is the help of God. The help. When you stop and you think, God encouraged Moses. What did he say? Verse 4, it says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my armies. What armies did God send into Egypt? How many armies walked in? Tons? During this time, everybody reads, oh, it was the armies going in. There had to be a military superpower to change. No. How would you like to be in an army like that, that God goes on before he wipes out the all the problems? All you have to do is just keep marching. All those doors that got slammed in your face. Has your needs been met? How old are you now? You don't have to say. But you see what I'm saying? Your health is still here. You even hurt your arm. You couldn't work. The Lord helped you through it, or the Lord carried you through it. So when you stop and you think, why doubt Him? When you stop, there's so many miracles that occur in our life. God's armies are strong. He helps us. He's going to give us comfort. He doesn't forget. Each of us have those awesome stories. If we'll look at the game plan that God has laid out for us. Your next one, blank, is confirmation. Confirmation. How do you think the Egyptians felt when all this occurred? If Miss Carol was there, Miss Carol would be saying, take them! Get them out of here. It was a repeated instruction. Instruction is your next one. And this is the unique part I like in this. When you stop and you think, what did God tell Moses to do? Look, I'm going to tell you, you and Aaron, you're 80 years old. Aaron's 83 years old. You're going to go before Pharaoh with a rod. Not a staff. There's a difference. What is a rod? A rod is a symbol of authority and power. I am the leader. I am coming to you from the inspiration of God that you will let His people go. And Aaron cast the rod down. What happened? It turned to what? Miss Carol's like, it turned to a serpent. Well, stop and think, what did the magicians do? Now, Pharaoh, as you can see how this worked, they didn't have, you know, a tablet over here, a computer or cameras. Hey, go get ready. No, they had some time to prepare. And what did the magicians do? They come and they cast theirs, and their rods turned to what? Snakes. But what happened? Who is the ultimate power here? Aaron. God used Aaron. And what did Aaron's serpent do? It ate the others. Now, I got a question, Miss Carol. You're going to hate to hear this. Do we ever kill a black snake, Nurse Don? Why not? They're good snakes. Do you believe that, Miss Carol? There ain't no such thing. But when you stop and you think, Aaron's serpent was so strong, it devoured the other ones. Satan is real. If you think that Satan doesn't have power, you're fooling yourself. There's demonic forces at work that are not going to give up. If you don't think Satan can mimic stuff, you're badly mistaken. That's how there's so many churches today that are open, they're not teaching from the Bible, and they're leading astray. That's how it starts. And once it starts, you can't stop that roller coaster unless you go back and rebuild. When you look at our lives, how they're affected, we sometimes forget that God is God. Got a question. How many people believe in UFOs? There's a lot. When you stop and think, how many people in here can walk me right now? Here's E.T. And I mean extraterrestrial. I'm not trying to be funny. How many people can lead me to that? All right, Area 51. When you stop and you think, though, and you look around, Satan's at work. I got a question for you. How many earths were formed? How many heavens were formed? One. So one and one. Why is there more than one Bible? All right, there's different what? Versions. Want one's the correct one. Which is the correct one? The one God wrote. Which one's that? Yeah. There's a difference. But that's why it's important to know, to lead. You don't think, for any of us, are we blind to see that Satan couldn't make something to draw our attention away from God? He sure can. Do you think Satan is so weak that he can't do a little miracle? Not for our benefit, but to sway us to another way. It's very clear. When you stop and you think, Satan is going to twist a little word in here. And just that little word now makes a nightmare later. And that nightmare is going to do what? It's going to lead a little bit further and a little bit further. That's why it's important to read and to study and to understand God doesn't create confusion. And at the end of it, God is the Almighty. He's the powerful. He has given us a game plan on how to live our lives. But we've got to listen to Him. Satan's not going to give up without a fight. You don't think Satan's not going to enter in your life and create a little havoc just to get you to go off down another path? Think about that this week. Who is going to be your Pharaoh that you need to go stand before to get it straight, to get it right before it's too late? If you don't go and you stand before your Pharaoh, where are your kids going to be? Where are your grandkids going to be? It's a chain reaction. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time just coming into Your sanctuary. We thank You for Your message and all the stories that You have put before us that we can even see them in our lives, that how it affects us, how it can change us. Just please be with this church. Just please put a hedge of protection around this sanctuary that Satan may not enter in, tempt or toss. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all are free.